Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we just ask you, Lord, to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive what you'd want us to receive today, in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. This is to the church of Smyrna. This is the second church that we've talked about thus far, our first church being Ephesus. This is referred to as the persecuted church. It was a time period is AD 100 to 312. The church in Smyrna was a very wealthy city that had little time for Christians. It was founded about 300 years before Christ. It was known as the commercial center of Asia Minor back in John's day. Of course, Asia Minor is Turkey today. It was a direct route, from India to Rome. There was a large variety of coins that were found there by archaeologists that would indicate it being a very wealthy city. Today, Smyrna is one of the largest cities in Turkey. The Smyrna period of church history was probably the greatest time of persecution that the Church of Christ has ever known. Satan unleashed a violent attack upon the church in an effort to destroy it, but it came very evident to him that the apostolic church period, because of their faithful preaching of the gospel, was a very serious threat to his godless empire. And so he was unsuccessful in his attempt to destroy, for God had overruled, and Satan learned a very valuable lesson that when you persecute the church of God, the church continues to grow and becomes stronger and spreads much further. Not one word of condemnation was against this church by the Lord. The persecution would not stamp out the church of Christ. As predicted by the Lord himself in verse 10, you shall have tribulation 10 days. The church in Smyrna saw 8 of these periods of persecution. Diocletian was considered to be the worst emperor in Rome's history. He became the greatest enemy of the Christian faith at the time. He led an attempt to destroy the Bible from the face of the earth. Under his leadership, many of the Roman cities had public burnings of the sacred scriptures. During the second and third centuries, this persecution saw hundreds of Christians that were brought into the amphitheaters of Rome to be fed to the lions. While thousands cheered, many were crucified. Others were covered with animal skins and tortured to death by wild dogs. Some were covered with tar and set on fire to serve as human torches. They were boiled in oil and burned at the stake. Polycarp in the city of Smyrna in 155 AD was one of those that was martyred. According to a church historian, over 5 million Christians were martyred for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so that brings us to chapter 2, verse 8. If you have turned there already, if you're there, we're going to begin with verse 8 and 9. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Verse 9, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. The message to the church is the very smallest of all the messages that we find in our study to the churches. But it had the greatest commendation to this church in the fact that he did have nothing to say to condemn it. But he speaks of their tribulation and their poverty and their affliction. I know thy works in tribulation. They were a severely persecuted church. In verse 9, we see that they had undergone much persecution, the poverty, but yet it was stated that thou art rich. They were poor and yet rich. So in addition to the physical persecution, it seems that the church of Smyrna went through serious time of financial persecution. Smyrna was not only a trade city, but it was also a city of guilds, which is regulated by craftsmen, or very much like our unions today. And because of the intense hatred for Christians, many took a stand for Jesus. Their shops were boycotted. Their employment was severed. and many of them had limitations on their economic opportunities because they were Christian. They were rich in spiritual things, but became poor in material things. Many of them went bankrupt because of these boycotts. And so the church still grew, and the church was still spiritually strong. Someone has said that the churches of the first 300 years were marked by material poverty, but spiritual power. Let's compare that to the churches of our day, marked by material wealth, but spiritual wickedness and spiritual weakness. But thou art rich, as is recorded here by our Lord's words. Christ brings wealth in this life and in the life to come. Many who are poor, as the proverbial church mouse, as was said, are rich in this life and the things that money cannot buy, such as joy, peace, happiness, and contentment. There are many things that the child of God is able to do through Christ, who gives us the strength to do so. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:10 said, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. The Apostle Paul had one thing that this world, materially, he did not have. And he was not concerned because he possessed all things through Christ. Going on to verse 9, the second part of verse 9, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. We see many here that are afflicted by false teachers who had claimed to be Jews, but they were really not. The New Testament definition of a Jew was one who is circumcised of the heart in spirit and not in letter, Romans 2:29. This was the commendation. The condemnation was verse 9 and the third part of verse 9. Satan has his own religious faith. He also has his churches. He's called synagogues of Satan. Any church that preaches a gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ is a synagogue of Satan, regardless of what it's called. We have so many today so-called Christians that are like the Jews in Smyrna. They're really not Christians at all. In reality, they are the synagogue of Satan and they're not of the Church of Jesus Christ. There are two basic heresies, and we see them from the synagogue of Satan, all done in the name of Christianity. They existed in the day in which Christ gave his message to the churches of Ephesus and to this church in Smyrna. These heresies are, first of all, it's a false doctrine of Christ, and secondly, the mixing of the law and grace, which was work of the Judaizers that was condemned by our Savior in verse 10. Every false religious system and cult coming out calling themselves Christians, which are many today, can be traced to one of these two heresies. Either they'll be confused about the personal deity of our blessed Lord, suggesting that he was just simply a good man, that he was not the virgin-born Son of God who lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, and rose bodily from the grave. He ascended physically into heaven and promises to one day return physically to this earth. Or they will add to salvation by grace through faith, saying that in addition to believing on Jesus Christ, that we should also try to keep the Sabbath or observe certain rites and ceremonies, eating or not eating certain kinds of meats. And then we have the council found in verse 10, the council of Christ. We see two things that's mentioned there in the council of Christ. Fear nothing and be faithful unto death. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer, verse 10. The Lord Jesus had predicted this suffering, that it would come to the church. And he told them that the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you will be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. What are these 10 days? They're considered by many Bible teachers to be 10 periods of persecution. Some refer to it as the last 10 years of intense persecution that would end under the Emperor Diocletian in the date of 303 to 312. And so the counsel of our Lord to this church was very simply The same advice that he gives to the believers of every age today when we fall into temptation or tribulation. Fear not. Fear not. There are 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day. When grace is needed, grace is supplied. When courage is needed, courage is supplied. For we have that promise that our God is able to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4 and verse 19. And then we have the challenge of Christ. It comes to those who have spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. It is a challenge to overcome. We need to be dependent on our faith in Jesus Christ. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And we have seen in that vision of Christ in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 that Christ holds in his hand the keys of hell and death. And so to the child of God, our Lord has promised that we shall never be hurt by the second death, which is described, by the way, in Revelation chapter 20, which we'll deal with that when we get there, as a time when the Hades, or the present abode of the unbelievers, those that are in death, are cast into the lake of fire, which this is the second death, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. But death is not the end of life. We have to understand, what does the Bible mean by death? You see, it's the complete ruin of man in God's plan for his life, which, by the way, was eternal. And so we were separated from God when we fell in the Garden of Eden. And God has desired that we be united again. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you accept him as your savior, the power of death, there is no power over your life. The second death is that state of man when we have died, and those who've died in unbelief will be resurrected and cast alive into the eternal state of separation from what God has called the lake of fire, Revelation 20:15. This second death will never cause the child of God to fear because it has no power over him. And so I ask you today, have you received Christ as your Savior? If you have, the second death has no power over you. We can ask Christ to come into your heart and life, and you don't need to be fearful of the second death. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, Acts 16 and 31. Okay, we find in the book of Matthew chapter 13, there is that entire chapter has to do with the church age, and we'll be reading from Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 to 43, and it is reference to the church of Smyrna. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then our Lord expounds further on this particular parable, verses 36 to 43 in the same chapter. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went unto the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the opportunity we had today to share your word. And we ask you, Lord, to be with each and every one today. And if you've listened to this cast and you've not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that today. Simply ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and invite him to come and live into your heart today. And we ask Jesus to just take your life and change your life and live for him from this day forth. And you'll have no fear of the second death, for the power of second death will have no power over you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.